Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Lee Cantor here, live with Stone Payton. Stone, Pensacola Business Radio. A dream come true for you, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, I've been talking about this for how long? Landlocked up in Atlanta. I grew up here. I have wanted for some time to have a Pensacola Business Radio, Business Radio X presence down here. And now it is the beginning of that dream. We've had a fantastic morning. We've had two marvelous episodes, and I have every reason to believe this is going to be every bit as good. This is going to be a particularly fun segment for me. Well, you and I both, we really enjoy working with young entrepreneurs. We work with startups. We interview a lot of startups. And it wasn't too long ago. How long ago was it that we did the Kids Business Expo
trade show thing? Just a month or two ago, we were up in the Cobb Galleria, and they had a whole expo, just kids business businesses. And I think they had the guy from The Prophet, Marcus Lemonis.
Right.
He came down and talked. So it was a really great day. And, that's always has a place in our heart for young entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. And the reason I mention it is a little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with CEO of, I'll have to learn how to pronounce it, Coterie Beads, Sierra Moore. And we're also going to talk with Randy Ramos, who is CEO with Global Business Solutions, Inc. But first up on Pensacola Business Radio in this segment, we're going to get a chance to talk with co-owner and vice president of Global Business Solutions, but she's also program manager with the Young Entrepreneurs Academy, Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Miss Terry Ramos. How are you?
I am great. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So now, the Young Entrepreneurs Academy, can you share a little bit about what your purpose and mission are?
Well, you just mentioned Dream Come True. And so what I've realized that we've done over the last 2 years is we've helped middle schoolers and high schoolers realize some of their dreams as well. The YAY program, Young Entrepreneurs Academy, and we say YAY.
I like that.
The YAY program is a 30-week-long program that actually transforms middle school and high school kids into young entrepreneurs, confident and licensed business owners. We start actually with brainstorming ideas, and then we help them write a business plan around that. And that includes everything, market analysis, implementation strategy, financial forecasting, management plan, all these things. We also, we have local business leaders who have signed up to be mentors, and we match those mentors with the businesses. And so they actually get that real life experience from the mentor to help them create their business plan.
So now the young entrepreneur who gets involved with the academy, do they have to have an idea for a business, or they can come in there and just kind of find like-minded people and come up with a business there?
We're not so much looking for the idea as we're looking for the entrepreneurial spirit in the person.
Right. So the attitude's more important than any type of concept for a service or a product.
Absolutely. So they can come to us with absolutely no idea. And we've had it all. We've had kids who don't have any idea, and then we help hone that down. We've had kids who come in and say, I've been baking cookies for my church for 3 years. And now I want to make this a business. So it's just a full gamut.
So now, for you, how did you get involved with the group? Is it your idea, the YAB program, or has this been going on for a while?
Oh, it has been going on for a while. It actually originated from University of Rochester, the RIT, Rochester
Institute of Technology.
Right. Thank you for that. And supposedly that's the best entrepreneurial business college in the United States. So they have come up with this program, and then they're
so that's where the curriculum comes from.
That's where the curriculum comes from. They are national partners with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. So one of the people from the chamber, it's Kelly Reeser here locally, came and said, since we have an IT business and classroom facilities, we're all about
teaching and training.
Absolutely.
Right.
And we're both business owners and entrepreneurs ourselves. She said, this looks like a good fit. So that's how we went with
it. So they voluntold you?
Voluntold. I like that. Yes. Well, you know, we jumped on it with, we grabbed hold of it as quickly as we could. We saw what the opportunity was, not only for us, but especially for the kids in the community.
Right. It's so important to kind of help kids think of being an entrepreneur as a career path. You know, a lot of people think like I have to get a job somewhere, and here's an opportunity to create your own job.
Well, see, that's one thing that my husband Randy and I have had a struggle with is working for other people. When you own your own company, you don't have to do that.
Well, you trade one boss for lots of bosses, right?
Well, that's true. Your customers are your boss. That's for right. sure.
Now, you used the word curriculum a moment ago. But is this confined to a simulation, or do they actually launch businesses?
Oh, we launch businesses. This, wow. I'm sure you're familiar with Junior Achievement.
Sure. A little bit. I mean, okay. Just by name and reputation, I guess, mostly.
Yeah. And basically what that is, you know, the kids will come together, they'll perform, they'll create a project, and then they have a project at the end. This is totally separate from that. These kids, like I said, with their ideas, their business plans, they hone that business plan, and then they actually get in what we call the Shark Tank, because we have some of the most important people around Pensacola are on the investor panel, and they decide how they're going to split up their money, and then they actually seed these companies. So, absolutely.
Now, do the kids come in, and are they their own entity as an individual, or do they kind of pair up and form kind of teams?
Well, that's another cool thing. They have that choice. And we've seen both years that we've done this, we've seen teams come in as teams. We had a brother and sister who actually won a national championship in Washington, D.C., and got a full-blown scholarship out of this whole thing. But we've seen brothers and sisters, and then we've seen two people this year who didn't even know each other.
So they met at the academy.
Yes, they had two separate ideas. One wasn't working out too well. They decided to partnership, and they're very, very successful in their business.
It must be so rewarding to be part of this.
It is tremendously rewarding.
Can you share maybe a story where you saw somebody, maybe they were nervous and then they were, you know, got kind of confident and then were able to make a go of some?
Well, that would be just about every business, including me. So yes, I've been nervous about the program. I've been nervous about getting in front of a stage, and that's me at my age. And these kids, you know, our winner this year is a fifth grader. We had to get, we actually had to get permission for her to be in the program. So, and that girl, when she took the stage, I want to be just like her when I grow up. So, yes, there's a lot of nerves, but we work with that. You know, we practice, we develop, elevator speeches. They get familiar with the investors before they go out there. They do their research. They walk out with as much confidence as you can have to explain their program.
Their parents must be just over the moon proud, huh?
Absolutely. And what I've heard so many times from the parents and from the business leaders themselves is, I sure wish I had this when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it's a great program.
Is it difficult to get kids to participate, or are you pretty filled up? How's it?
Well, we fill up quickly. Mm-hmm. So we can handle as many as 24 students in per year. But we do fill up really quickly. And I personally like a smaller group. But we're open now for applications. And
expensive?
It's $395, but
that's for
this
the
community.
Year?
That's for the year.
$395 for the entire year. Absolutely. And I can put my kid into this type of process.
You walk out, your kid will walk out with a registered business. Absolutely. Wow. Ready to go to work and all the supplies and materials.
Can you do it again, or is this a one time you can only participate once?
You can only graduate one time. Mm-hmm. There is an official graduation.
So what do you need and want from the, I was going to say business community, but let's say, I mean, from the community period at this point, what can we do to help?
what you can do to help would be what you're doing right now, getting the word out for us, getting the fact that our program exists here in this community. And plus, we always are looking for more business leaders, for
to
mentors.
Volunteer to be mentors.
Yes.
Right.
Mentors. We do field trips. We have guest speakers. You know, the kids actually touch over 100 business leaders within the 30 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's how they get to grow their network. But what we need from the community is involvement.
And then is this something where some of the business people meet some of these kids and they're like, they give them internships? Like, do they ever further the relationship down the road? Does that ever occur?
I can give you a couple examples of that. One is Red Hawk Computer Company, last year's graduate. He is now working for Escambia County School Systems. He has an IT company, repair company, and they put him on, he works for them now.
So you grew a competitor for GBS
to GBS.
Yes, but we're really proud of that competitor.
All right, I want to talk to one of these entrepreneurs. Let's bring the conversation.
Who'd you bring with you?
I brought Sierra Moore. She is this year's regional winner of the Yay program, and she has Coterie Beads, and she'll tell you all about her company.
Fantastic. Right. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
So how has your experience been with the Yay program?
It was pretty exciting just to get there and go. You learn a whole lot. I mean, their shirts say walk in or start as a student, finish as a CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Everyone says you can't get in there. You're too young. You can't get in there and get a business.
Mm-hmm. But
we're mainly here to like tell everyone that kids can get their own business.
Now, what made you want to be part of the program? How did you hear about it?
Well, last summer, I was telling my mom all about the fact that a whole bunch of kids in my class, about 95% of them, hated vegetables. Hated it.
Right.
And so I wanted to create a spray that would make the vegetables taste better.
Like chocolate.
No, more like all natural flavors, okay. Like apples, right, and cherries. But it wasn't really working out.
Mm-hmm.
You had to buy the 10,000s.
Right, and that's a lot
too
of money, probably.
Expensive. Yes. So a snow cone business didn't work out. Have to go through a class to get a vendor's license to sell ice and ice products. So it didn't exactly work out like that either.
So you've always wanted to do something.
Yeah.
Like entrepreneurial.
Yes. It was great. Like, I now started with Coterie Beads because 85% of the women that go to a store and buy non-diamond products, they go and they are impulse buyers. They just go and get it, but we looked online and it would take 8 weeks to get some items. And
that's
people
too
want,
long. They
yes,
want it right away.
People want it by the weekend for a party this
right,
weekend. So we found a way to do that. Now we import from 5 countries and we bring the most trendiest women's jewelry to the Pensacola
area.
So
who picks? Who's the trend spotter? Is that you?
Me. Me.
So
yes.
You have a good eye for fashion?
Maybe.
Obviously. I can vouch for that. Yes,
so now,
do.
But so how did you hear about the Yay program? Is that something in school they told you, or your parents found it?
My mom found out. It was great, you know. She found out, and she said, "Hey,
you're coming
this
up with all these ideas, right?" They're like, hey, "Maybe this can help you."
Yes, she said, "Hey, there's a meeting where we can get more information," and we went. And we learned more
now,
about
did,
it.
Did you say, I don't want to go to the meeting? Tell the truth.
No.
So
no.
You were excited about the meeting.
I'll say half and half. I didn't know what to expect, so I was pretty nervous about it.
You were
it.
Nervous, right? Because it's a new thing.
Yeah. Then I meet the Ramuses, and it's like so much more comfortable everywhere you go.
They made you feel comfortable?
Yes.
Now, what about the other kids that were there?
They were all nice. They all had a bunch of great ideas. You can turn little ideas into realities.
Right.
So it became a really, really good experience.
So now, was your bead idea, did you have it before you got there, or you got it after you were there a little bit?
I got it after I was there. I actually kind of started this business around December, and then I made it happen in January.
So now what happened in December that made it happen in January?
The other businesses didn't work out.
So you tried the other ones first.
Yeah, so I thought of something I liked, so now we import them.
Right.
So it makes it a lot easier.
And that's important for entrepreneurs, right, Terry, that fail fast, right? You want to get all the bad ideas out of the way as quickly as possible so you can focus on the good ideas, right?
Yes.
Now, some people don't like to fail, but you were okay with failing?
Yeah.
Because now you've got some good now, right?
Yeah, it was pretty bad at first. It's like, oh, man, that's bad. Kind of like that. But, you know, you find something even better once you all the other things that can cloud up the real good idea in your head.
Right. And there's no shame in trying something. That's how you learn. Yep. So now now that you've got this thing going, what's next?
I would say what's next is to really push forward. You could expand your business.
What are you going
to
do? This is your business.
This is my business. I'll admit that. Yes, it is. So I was thinking more like, you know, I'll really get this business out. And thanks to you guys, I can.
Right.
So I'm going to get this business out. I'm going to try and get as many customers in the Pensacola area. And you never know. I could just end up with a whole bunch of my stores. Maybe if I open a store.
So you want to have your own store or do you want to sell your stuff to stores?
I might want to sell my things to stores because when you run your own store, you have to factor in all the other costs and payments and bills.
That's right.
And
I bet you they tell you that at the Yay Academy, right?
Yes.
So now, was there a lot of math in business?
Economics of one unit. Yes, there was a lot of math.
So what surprised you about the math of business?
The math in business is you have to factor in the cost, the quantity, and how much you're going to get for that, and how much you can pay yourself per hour.
So you got to learn that. So
well, she not only learned it, she retained it. It sounds to me like so. Was it scary or a little intimidating at all when you thought about importing from other countries? Because obviously that made math sense, but that to me that's a little bit. I think I would find that a little intimidating to start working that far, you know, with people that far away from here. What was that like?
It's not actually that bad. There are people that really get the best out of what they find, and they make the most beautiful jewelry. I love it. And so I go to that page at website, and I bring it all to the Pensacola area, and I sell it for a better price here.
So now, how'd you even know they existed? Where do you even go to find these people out?
Can't tell you.
That's your trade secret.
But it is. Part of the answer is it's what she thinks about 24/7, right? I mean, you know this as an entrepreneur yourself, Lee, and you're learning this too. This it consumes you almost, right? I mean, you think about your business a lot, don't you?
Yes, you have to.
Because no one else is going
to
do it, right?
You're always thinking about ways to improve it and how to source better material, how to get more out of what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. You can even ask these two people who are here with us today. I bet you they could tell you a lot about that, too.
So now, what do the other kids think about your venture?
They were really, really hoping I would take home the crown just a little bit. You know, they were hoping that. And then they were also really hoping that I would represent the Pensacola area as amazing.
So now you went to you won in for best in Pensacola?
Yes.
And then now you go to another level or you've already done the other level?
I've already done the other level.
And where was that at?
Boca Raton, Florida.
Okay, so
that's down your way. You're from down there.
So then this was all of Florida?
It was all Florida.
So now how'd we do in that?
We actually did pretty good. I didn't do too bad. I'm going to credit myself. I didn't do too bad. The girl who won was Kayla Cares for Kids. She did an amazing presentation.
And win, lose, or draw, when you're in that kind of environment, you're now able to exchange best practices and ideas and talk to other kids who are having success and running into other challenges. So there's no way to to lose in an experience like that. I mean, that must have been a fantastic opportunity.
It was
to go down there and talk with all those other entrepreneurs.
Did you sell any stuff?
Did you take a suitcase?
How were sales?
We didn't really sell there. It was more for
learning,
the judges to see what it would look like.
I know, but you find some shops that may want to buy your beads.
She sold herself really well. In fact, somebody sat down next to you to talk to you about something. Tell them about that.
the dean of the College of Business. Thank you. The College of Business in Boca Raton.
And that's where the event was?
That's
at a college,
exactly where it was.
Right.
At FAU.
Uh-huh. Florida Atlantic University.
Right.
Yes. And he offered me a scholarship to the school.
Wow.
Right there on the spot.
Yeah.
So you're considering
that? I got a Chick-fil-A coupon one time at a networking meeting.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that is pretty awesome. When you were getting into this, did you imagine something like that could happen?
No. When I got in this program, I thought, oh, yeah, we start the business. It's a great idea. Somebody has something for kids for them to really get out there and show what they're made of. But then I was thinking, is this going to be a real business? And now I'm sitting here and I'm saying yes.
Okay. It can't get much realer.
No.
No kidding.
No.
So, Terry, my only similar or even remotely related frame of reference for something like this relationship is, you know, like I played Little League baseball when I was a kid. So there was I had a coach. Is it like that? I'm interested to learn more about the relationship. Like when she needs and wants advice and input and knows it, when you know she needs and wants advice and input and she may or may not know. Can you speak to the relationship and the communication with these young entrepreneurs a little bit, how that unfolds?
I'm so glad you said that the way you did, Stone, because we actually talk about athletes have their basketball courts or their football fields, and these kids actually don't have an arena, typically. They don't have a coach. These kids who think a little differently than the mainstream. And as an example, during our interviews, one of the kids that was in our group this year, I said, what do you do for fun? Well, I'm reading a book. Oh, what book are you reading? Ulysses. I'm like, oh, gee. So, you know, these are special kids. They are. If they want to be in this program, they're special kids. So with that, we have the opportunity basically to be their coach and the mentors, the way the mentors sit down with each of these kids, you know, like I said, they bring all their information from their, what they have experienced as entrepreneurs and business leaders. And they're telling these kids, you know, this might work better this way and that kind of thing. So they're not, I won't say hand-holding, because there is no hand-holding. We tell them straight up, when you come into the classroom, we're going to conduct business. So this is a business meeting. And so they conduct themselves as a business professional from the get-go.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a testament to also the Chamber of Commerce to invest in this kind of an activity.
That's a fact. That our chamber has invested money, time, all resources. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because a lot of times, you know, they're so focused on business that is, you know, older people's businesses, more traditional businesses, and they're not thinking to invest in the young people, which are the future business people. So hats off to them for really making the time to do that and to really encouraging business to participate. And they're not just giving it lip service like, yeah, we'll throw some money at it or give them a room to do it at.
They're
really encouraging the business people to participate and become active in this.
They're fully involved.
Right.
Yes.
Well, so just how robust is this curriculum? Because we talked about economics a little bit, and clearly Sierra has a much better grasp on that than I'm thinking I do based on our last staff meeting when we went through the numbers at Business Radio X. Talk a little bit about some of the other high spots of the curriculum.
So there is the curriculum that we go by, and we also have a business plan that is basically a sample business plan that we can refer back to and that type of thing. So they've got a lot of resources that they can pull from. But as far as now the curriculum, what I really like about it is it's stringent in some ways, but flexible in others.
It sounds, that's what it sounded like as you were describing it.
Yes. So last year we say, for instance, we had a business that she had something that had to do with hair. And so we went to a field trip at a hair salon and those types of things, you know. So we get to alter a lot of that. We do have to provide the elements for the business plan. They have to be right on, because since it's in a competition atmosphere, they mm-hmm. have to be. It's national. There are over 110 YAE programs.
I did not know. Were you aware of this at all, Lee?
No.
Yeah. So there has to be some boundaries. But the way that it's kind of like that lemonade, you know, it doesn't matter if you put the lemons in first or the water,
right.
Just as long as when you pour it, it's lemonade. So that's how it is with the program as well.
So you're getting good support here locally from business folks, but you could always use more. The
always
Chamber,
use more.
The Gulf Coast Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. I have some pride, I guess, because it's my hometown. But the way that everybody just seems to collaborate is incredible. That's very inspiring.
Oh yeah,
to me that's good to hear.
And for these young people
learn
that and to see how a community really does come together in order to grow,
right?
It's been wonderful.
Well, Sierra, keep up the good work. What an inspiring story you have! What an inspiration you are! You've probably saved me, added 2 or 3 years to my life. I feel more youthful and invigorated. What an exciting time for you. We're going to look forward to continuing to follow your story.
Now, okay. Do you have a website for your business?
Unfortunately, the website isn't up yet, but you can see us at a Twitter, Cotterie Beads, or Facebook.
How do you spell that?
Cotterie Beads.
So you can just go on Facebook and put that in, or Twitter, and you can find you that way.
Yes.
And I'm sure soon there'll be a website.
Yes, there will.
So now, do you have any advice for any kids that should they participate in a program like this? What do you think?
I would say if you really, really love something, you do it. And if you really, really want to do it, live that dream. Because like everyone says, oh, pull your head out the clouds. Stop dreaming. Dreams never come a reality. They become reality.
That's right. Why not you?
I know. That's what I love. The YAE program really gives these kids an opportunity to start their own business and really show that they can do this sort of thing.
But you got to do the work.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
not giving you anything.
Yeah. Tell you the best thing I've learned. Tenacity. Persistence. Keep doing what you're doing until you reach where you want to be.
I don't know how to end that segment any better. What an absolute delight to have you on the show. We're going to have you back. Because we're going to be coming back through. We're going to, at some point, establish a permanent presence here in Pensacola, Business Radio X is. Would you like to come back sometime and maybe bring some other folks that you're working with and continue this conversation?
I would love to bring my friends and come back with this.
Fantastic. Well, then we're going to make that happen. Please stay in the studio. Hang out with us. We're going to visit with Terry just a little bit more. And then we have another guest that we're going to visit with. Terry, you must just absolutely beam with pride and watching her and listening to her relate her experience. Gosh, this must be rewarding work.
It truly is. I mean, we knew what we saw. When we saw her, we knew what we had. When we had the interview with Sierra, again, being a fifth grader, we thought, oh, I don't know, it's outside the program scope and everything. But with a quick call, we said, you know, this girl looks like she's got what you guys are looking for.
Wow.
In the organization. So, and she certainly has never let us down for a minute. Well, you can tell. You can just hear her. She actually graduated fifth grade and jumped on a plane, right after that, and flew to Boca and then did her competition down there and did an outstanding job.
And then if somebody wanted to learn more, is there a web page for the program or is that on the Chamber's website? Where can they learn more?
Actually, both. You can go to the organization's website, and that is YEAUSA.org, mm-hmm. or you can go to PensacolaChamber.com/YEA, and you can find information out about the program there and also how to apply. And we are accepting applications now, so...
So the kids can apply there, but also if a business person wanted to get involved and learn more, there's information there
for that as well. You can get tons of information from YEAUSA.org.
Well, I can tell you right now, I want to talk to some of these business people that are participating in this process. I want to talk to more of your young entrepreneurs. I mean, if you're up for that, I just think this is what marvelous business radio these kinds of conversations make. So let's keep that conversation going. And I want to leave your mic open for our next segment, because we're going to be visiting with not only the CEO, Graham Poobah, of Global Business Solutions, Inc., but I think he's also your roommate, isn't he?
Yes, he is. for 31
how many,
years.
31 years roommate. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast CEO of Global Business Solutions, Inc., Mr. Randy Ramos. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. This is fantastic. It's so fun listening to Sierra and talk about the YEA program. I'd rather talk about that than our company. You know, we're just another company like any other in Pensacola, but this is so much fun. We really enjoy it.
So you started your business when you were 10, 11 too, right?
Yeah. There's a story there, actually, you know, and I think that's part of why we do YEA, is that I got in trouble for selling bubblegum when I was in fifth grade, you know, turning it into a business.
You know, you look like that kid that always got in trouble, I got to tell you.
So share a little bit about GBSI. What are you guys doing for folks?
Well, the boring truth about GBSI mm-hmm. is that we are an information technology and technology training company. So the IT services side of the business, cybersecurity, information assurance, and then the technical training, trying to help develop a workforce, you know, to perform those skill sets in mm-hmm. the USA.
Yeah, I think the federal government can use your help. Did they have a recent leak of some kind, information?
Those things happen. And oh, by the way, the government is one of our customers. And, you know, so.
But that wasn't on your watch.
No, not my watch.
So who is your typical client?
Yeah, so the federal government, being in Pensacola, you know, the government contracting is a primary business for successful IT businesses in this area. Mm-hmm. And then I guess we could tell you that, you know, Boeing Commercial Airplanes, from a training side, we've been a supplier to the Boeing Commercial Airplanes for about 10 years now. Training services, classroom management, facilities management, those kind of things.
Now, Terry mentioned earlier that you have a actual classroom. So people come here from all over to get trained?
Huh. Yeah, we have infrastructure here. We do technical training, cybersecurity training, once again, in this local area, as well as some virtual technology that we're working with today that is probably going to transform the education training industry.
So beyond the bubblegum story, what is your backstory? How did you get from bubblegum to cybersecurity?
Wow, that's a great question.
It's a curvy path, I'm sure.
It is. I mean, starting GBSI, we did in 1995, and it was on the coattails of a very, very incredible civil service career working for the federal government. So I have to give kudos to that. But in the federal government, you know, you kind of plateau. I mean, just like a lot of people, you kind of get a little stagnant in your career, and you want to make some career changes. So I left the federal government, put $1,000 in a checking account, opened up a business.
On $1,000, you hear that?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you had no business plan? You had no,
oh, no.
idea what you were going to do? You just threw $1,000 in the bank and said, let's start something?
Sierra, stop listening to this conversation.
Yeah. He did have a business plan, actually. He bought a Jeep, and I said, how are you going to pay for that? So there started his business plan.
So you always knew you were going to do something in the IT?
When we actually started GBSI, it was a technical training company.
More training rather than IT?
Yeah, it was training. I mean, it started out, my expertise was in the Oracle database arena, which was a pretty significant skill set mm-hmm. when I started the business. So took that skill set.
And that's the beauty of Oracle, that, you know, they got to hire other people to teach them how to use the thing they just bought, right? There's a lot of job security with that.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, because I was doing that. I was working for Oracle Corporation at a corporate level, you know, of training, and then also with Oracle Education and Consulting, mm-hmm. you know, teaching their consultants how to consult in the Oracle product line.
Right. So then you spun off and did your own thing. at some point, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we spun off, started the business out of the home, you know, but after taking up the dining room, the living room, and a second bedroom, Terry said, it's time for you to
go. It's hard to do those classes in the garage, right?
Yeah. So we kind of left the house and opened up in a office space close to our home. You know, went into that space. It was 1,000 square feet. And I looked at Terry. I said, oh, my God, what have we done? This is way too much space.
I got
space.
A new mortgage payment, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was way too much space. We started to fill it up. And oh, by the way, now we occupy the entire building.
It's funny how that works.
Now, I understand that this whole idea or issue of workforce readiness is very much at the forefront of your mind. I'm curious, is that part of what compels you to want to work with young entrepreneurs? And in what other areas of your life is that touching? And how are you addressing it?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I thought it took me a little while to get it out, but I thought it was a fantastic question.
It's a great complicated question. So I'll give you a complicated answer. You know, workforce readiness, it's not so much the training and the education as much as it is the availability. You know, we're kind of lacking behind in this country right now with respect to some of the skill sets, especially in, and I'll say it, the whole STEM arena, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So it's getting our workforce up to readiness level in all skill sets. What if that readiness is to go into the job market or go into higher education? You know, it's just that, and it's just that plain and simple. We have to accelerate that. We need to speed it up. We need to just find new ways of making education and training readily available to develop the knowledge, skills, and abilities in our young and mature individuals.
Now, what do you think the unemployment rate is for people that graduate with a STEM degree?
It's in every sector of STEM, graduating with a degree or even just having the knowledge, skills, and abilities, the unemployment rate is very, very low. It's probably
it might
0
be negative,
point
right?
something.
It
exactly.
might be negative.
Exactly.
Because those people get hired away pretty quickly. And that's what I guess is frustrating, because the need is so great. And then for some reason that kids aren't going in that direction.
That's true. We need to excite the kids to go in that direction. We need to be working in the K-12 to excite students to, you know, to rethinking, looking at career paths down at that level. You know, in the
gotta catch them early, right?
We do,
earlier than we maybe originally thought.
That's true. We need to be working down in primary education. We need to be working on into secondary education and then post-secondary education. It's workforce individual readiness all the way along.
With regard to the STEM, does there continue to be more of a gap among females than males in that? Because haven't we had a couple of interviews where they've talked about that?
Yeah,
issue?
That for some reason that girls in middle school age tend to stop caring as much about the STEM classes.
Is that true?
It's true.
Are you seeing that as well?
It's a true across sector. I mean, and when I say sector, I'm talking about all minorities, whether it's female, it's black, it's Hispanic, it's in every sector,
really?
Underrepresented groups throughout the STEM community.
And that's a shame, because that's a great career path. I mean, those are six-figure jobs for life kind of situations if you can graduate with a STEM degree.
Well, here, I'll give you a story, all right? So Huntsville City School Systems.
In Huntsville, Alabama?
Huntsville, Alabama have cybersecurity IT career academies at the high school level that are graduating seniors out of high school into jobs that are paying $40,000 to $60,000 annually.
Wow, out of high school.
At a high school.
At a high school level.
Well, I know in Atlanta, there's a, what's it called? The Iron Yard Stone. They teach you how to code in like
12 week
class.
Something. Yeah.
And it's just code. And then they have 100% job placement.
Yeah. So the University of West Florida here sponsors a Coder Dojo program, which teaches coding.
I like it.
There is just a shortage of people with those skills. I mean, and I'm not saying that if you just go for 12 weeks, this is a hard thing. This is not just simple. You show up and you get a job. I mean, you got to really kind of bust your butt there to do the work to learn this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And even when you talk about cybersecurity, realistically, the, you know, that term gets misused and overused in so mm-hmm. many different ways. You know, we can bring that on down to just fundamental, you know, operating system, network administration, programming languages, all of those types of skill sets fundamentally are the foundational to, you know, cybersecurity protection and vulnerabilities.
So now in your world, you work in the virtual instructor-led training, right? That's part of your
Which
work.
Sounds like two different things to me. That my wife is,
they sound
in
like
the,
opposite.
Is in the training development arena, and I overhear her on conference calls. So I'm just a little bit kind of on the periphery of that world, but virtual and instructor-led in my mind were two completely different things. So that's not the case, I guess.
Well, the whole term virtual training gets so overused, you know, and we continue to have arguments on just what that definition is. So I think we can all agree that classroom-based training means that we all gather together into a brick-and-mortar facility,
right.
You know, and we conduct training, which is the best training you can get. It's the most expensive training when you talk to resources of training that have to come together. You got travel costs, just the training costs.
Sure.
And, you know, all of those. When we talk about virtual training, in terms of, I'm going to give you my definition of virtual
training.
Well,
that's only one that counts, right?
You're the guy on the mic.
You're the guy on the radio.
Yeah, so my definition of that is using an internet-based connection to join together an instructor and participants through internet-connected devices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so questions are, you know, do you have a visual aspect? Do you have audio? Do you have video? What are those capabilities in that connectivity so that you can conduct a, you know, internet-based connected training or virtual training, online learning, distance learning, you know, whatever term you want to use.
Now, we do some work with some clients that do training. I find that the training for corporations is so much more advanced than it is for kids. Now, do you see anything that you can transfer some of what you guys do to, you know, get
in
children,
the school system or something?
Right, motivated and engaged and learning at the same rate that it seems that adults can do?
Well, realize we're going to start stepping on some toes in this conversation with regard to our academic institutions,
but not here,
industry, and government.
They're not being represented.
But one of the, you know, so since you've asked the questions and we're going to go down this path, is that we have to look at that our academic institutions today are not moving at the speed of business.
Right. Not even close.
Not even close. So industry recognizes this, academia recognizes this, and the government recognizes this. Everyone recognizes this, but I think in some sectors, you know, industry, government, academic are making changes. There is educational transformation going on. But in other sectors, it's not. But we definitely need to be looking at ways to accelerate the attainment of knowledge, skills, and abilities in our workforce, you know, in global competition, and in just simple skill set needs in our area. And we can do that with, you know, a product that we're working on, and that is bringing the classroom and the virtual technologies together, you know, to offer classroom-based training more cost-effectively, like virtual internet-based training.
And this is something that can be done, like you can get the best-in-class instructor, and that person can teach people all over the place on demand when they need it, when they want it.
That's a correct statement. And oh, by the way, so who is that instructor? It could be industry. You know, as a matter of fact, industry teaching
right.
STEM back into our K-12
right.
arena.
And it's relevant, and it's happening now. They can teach something that is relevant today, whereas sometimes these kids are learning things that aren't relevant anymore.
Right. So you look at combining the power of taking a subject matter expert in industry that has that knowledge that can convey it well into a classroom of, let's just say, sixth graders, and that teacher facilitating the requirements of the Department of Education, then that's a perfect solution, in my opinion.
And you have the person that's the kind of the boots on the ground in the classroom can help and supplement and
it doesn't have to be an either or.
You don't have to replace the person.
Both and, right? You're bringing it all together.
Yeah, you're bringing it all together. And oh, by the way, you're also helping to increase the technical capability of the facilitator or teacher in the room.
Mm-hmm. And you're getting a better outcome from the learner.
That's correct.
You know, Terry's lips didn't move at all the whole time that he was talking.
No.
But you were I am married to a wonderful woman who is very accomplished in the change management, training, learning, development arena. And it's one of the reasons that I get to do stuff like this instead of a real job. But I'm having a hard time envisioning she and I being in business together. And I don't know that we have time to fully explore that, but I'd love to hear it. We'll go back to Terry for a moment. Can you speak to that dynamic a little bit?
I've actually dreamt of the opportunity to talk
about it.
Now it's time
for the Terry hour.
I've seriously talked about writing a book, and the book would say why you would want to go into business with your spouse. And then halfway through it, you have to flip it over.
And it says why not to do it.
Why not to.
Right.
Exactly.
It's both in one book.
You know, we knew when we first started seeing each other that this was going to be a great partnership. And it has been in every aspect. He talked about civil service, and I also was in civil service as a computer specialist. But I had the opportunity to get into what the Navy called total quality leadership. So that gave me a whole lot of experience, and I was able to teach this to the Navy, you know, quality management. So when he bailed from the government and he started, it's the window scenario, and you know what I'm talking about, Randy. He was staring out the window, and I said, "What's wrong?" And he says, "I can't believe I'm about to do this." So it was about 6 years later then I looked out that window, and he says, "What's wrong?" I said, "I can't believe I'm about to leave my government job." But it's been a great partnership. And we worked hard, just like any entrepreneur has to do, with any business owner has to do. They have to work night and day. They have to sacrifice. Call it what you want, but it's a sacrifice. We loved what we were doing. We still love what we're doing, but there are sacrifices. And then we're truly blessed by enough revenue to hire people who are smarter than we are. So we surround ourselves with the people that can get the job done. I stepped off in the COBOL and Fortran days. You know, I don't know I don't know the new world of programming mm-hmm. anymore, but that was my choice. And so, like I said, we're surrounded with people who are brilliant, and it's been a true blessing in our company.
So now what's next for you guys? So you're working on this initiative?
Yeah, our virtual instructor-led training component right now. We actually just did we've just won a grant with the Huntsville City School System to install 5 classrooms up there.
That was probably easy to do, right? To get a school system. They probably made a phone call and said, "Hey, I got this great idea." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, let's beta test it here. Sounds good."
It's a long sales cycle.
move at the speed of government.
Yeah, exactly. But Huntsville City Schools is a forward thinking.
Right. Aren't there more PhDs there than anywhere in the country, I think?
That's correct. And the Huntsville City School System, specifically Grissom High School, recently won the National Cyber Patriot Competition in Washington, D.C. It was in May of this year. They started in 2012 with 5 Cyber Patriot teams. This year they have 27.
Wow.
So forward-thinking superintendent that is now going to connect these schools together to have the best teachers, teaching to the students so that the learners have access to the best teachers across the school district, learning
cybersecurity.
Thinking
of the learners first. What a concept.
It is amazing. And let me just, if I can, I'll just plug, is that's the power of our product, classroom-based virtual instructor-led training from GBSI.
So if somebody went to learn more, website for you guys?
Yeah, we have a website, gbsi.com. You can find us on there. We're also on Facebook. LinkedIn. Yeah, so we, do we have a Twitter account? I don't know.
I believe we do, and I don't think either one of us know how to do it.
You have people that do that.
That's exactly right.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
It's been a pleasure. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to everybody here for making this happen. And thanks to CIE for allowing us to be in their space. That has really helped us out a lot. And if you want to learn more about them, go to GulfCoastInnovation.com. And this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Pensacola Business Radio.